Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today we have comedian Danielle Stewart, who is not afraid to talk about all things sex. She's here to share the dirty She's here to share the dirty details of her sex life and help us answer your emails. This is going to be good.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
To our sponsors, because without them, well, without you, I'm nothing, and without them, I couldn't do the show. So you've heard me talk about massage candles. I actually made some massage candles, so you would have the best experience ever, because Danielle.
Yes.
True or not true, massage has been a gateway to intimacy in your relationships. Like, a guy's like, hey, you're not into it. He's like, can I massage you?
Every time.
And then all of a sudden, you're having sex with him 3 minutes later.
Absolutely. Right? Or yes. Okay. At least oral sex.
At least something. He's getting a blowjob. Because a lot of times we're stressed, we're uptight. Someone starts massaging you and you're like, ah, your defenses go down. So I made these candles that smell amazing, aromatherapy, vanilla, coconut, fougere, and you light them. They look like regular candles. So it's not like your mom's going to come visit and you're going to be like, better put away the massage candle. She won't know. It's a regular candle. And it burns into the most luxurious massage oil. I gave you one.
I am obsessed with it. Okay. I told you, as soon as I got it, like me and my
ex-fiance. Which we're going to get into. She's the shortest engagement in history.
Yes, we used
it. Tell me.
Oh my God. It was just
don't listen.
Well, first of all, I love candles. Like, I just love them anyway. But you gave me this weird, you told me, you're like, this is more masculine scent. Which one?
Fougere.
Okay, I don't know French, but that was.
It's like male woodsy, but I love it too.
It was so good. It was so good. It was like an aphrodisiac.
It is.
And it doesn't dry up too quickly. And it sort of feels like a combination between hot wax, but then it just melts.
It's hot though. I mean, it's warm.
Oh, it's hot.
It's hot and sexy, but it's not sticky, messy, waxy. It doesn't ruin your stuff. So check them out. And so you light it for atmosphere. Next thing you know, you give her a massage and she gives you a massage. It's a done deal. So check it out. EmilyandTony.com. And you can use code anytime, right? Still? Mm-hmm. Use code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off your first order. That's EmilyandTony.com. Okay, everyone. I'm here with Danielle. Hello, Danielle.
Hi.
Danielle is on a show right now. If you're all watching TV, which most of the world does, Sex Box.
Yes.
On WE TV.
On WE, which is like, you know, it used to be women's entertainment television, but they've rebranded it. They've got a lot of other programming on there. I don't know if you're into Braxton Family Values, but that's also on the
oh,
network.
Oh, that is? Okay. No.
And but yeah, it's a Sex Box, which is awesome. It's like a couples therapy show, and I do like Man on the Street and backstage correspondent stuff.
So people actually, I saw the British version. Like people actually, I'm sorry, I haven't watched it.
Fuck that.
People...
Can I,
say
fuck?
Yeah,
can I say fuck?
Yeah, totally. Podcast. Do whatever the hell you want. Get naked.
Yeah, I mean, even though, cameras. Like, the British one had Dan Savage on, who I love, so I'll give it that. But they didn't... It wasn't like... It was a little bit too tawdry for me, the British one. I think we did a good job at this one. Like, it really is couples therapy, and it just... People think it's like... Like gratuitous.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, here's a couple. They're going to go have sex in the box. And they're having sex in the box. And then you guys are sitting around having lunch waiting for them to get done or whatever it is. And
right.
You give commentary. And then they come out and they're like, well, we had oral. We had anal. Right.
Right. But they talk about it in the sense where it's not like this like hee-hee-hee thing that we're, you know, which America thinks sex is. It's like, this is what couples do. This is how they connect. This is what they need. And the overall thing of all the couples was that they'd been in a long-term relationship and the sex died for whatever reason.
For whatever reason is that it happens in life. It's biology. It's going to happen, people. It just should not be a surprise to you.
Right.
Six, do you give advice how to keep it interesting?
Well, I don't, but the therapists do. And they don't really give advice necessarily how to keep it interesting. They try to get to the root of the problem to help them reconnect.
Right. Because usually it's something that's happened.
Yes. There's some elephant in the room of something that they're not being honest with each other about or something they don't want to talk about. And then they get it out. It's usually like this reveal moment, and then they go in, have sex, and come out, and like you can visibly see that these couples, like most of them, are like totally completely different people when they come out. And it just goes to show, like, sex is the first thing to go in a relationship, and if you just have even that like quickie, it like reconnects you.
Exactly. It's like, know? The more sex you have, the more sex you'll have. Like,
yes.
The more likely you'll have sex, and you kind of, the truth is, you have great sex at the beginning, and like we say, it just happens, and it's not to be a downer. We're just saying that that's the natural evolution of being here. You have had I could have had sex with this microphone for 6 months. Like, it's just how it is in the beginning. Like, you know, anything for 6 months, what I'm saying. And then it dies. The chemicals change. You know, you get used to your lives. Your real life creeps in. You got to start paying the bills and paying attention to other things. And then, yeah, it's about a year and a half, and we're just not as attracted, and we just let it fall by the wayside. But if you commit to do the same things that you did at the beginning of the relationship, like, what were those things that you did that kept it interesting? And you keep
other
doing
people.
Those things.
Other
you were having sex with a few people at the beginning. But, like, if you can, like, oh, she, you know, we used to send each other sweet notes or texts. Or I used to ask, you know, we used to have date night. Whatever the hell it was. We used to always go for runs on the weekend. Do the things that connected you at the beginning. We used to have had sex this way. Keep having sex that way.
And I also think that there's different things, like, your needs change. So, like... If a guy I'm seeing in the beginning now, like, you know, I don't want him to come over and, like, you know, mop my floor. Like, that's like, what are you doing? Like, just
unless he's naked.
Like, mop my pussy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need. Right, exactly. But if we're together a year, you know what's really going to make me excited is if I come home and you've done the dishes. Like, that is really, because that show, to me, that's better than flowers that I might have gotten in the beginning of a relationship.
But it's still doing the same.
It's action.
It's still doing gestures.
Yes.
It's action. So, yeah, you're right. I don't mean, like, yeah, it's the flowers. And whatever, but it's, you still consider each other, you still prioritize each other, and you still prioritize connection and intimacy.
I think with men, I find that, like, the biggest issue that I run into, and you know, granted, I'm probably dating the same guy over and over.
We often do,
but that the actions don't meet up with the words. There's a lot of talking, a lot of like, I do this, I love you so much, I blah blah blah, and a lot of no action.
Exactly, and that's what I always tell people. They say this, like, this is the quintessential. Well, he says that, you know, he doesn't want to be in a relationship right now and he's not ready to commit, but we see each other every single day and it's so great. And like his actions, oh, but see, that's a little different thing is that like his, so then, but this is confusing because women see their actions of the guy doing that, but then they're saying one thing. So really, they should listen to their words.
Okay. Unfortunately, when it comes to things that are negative, you should always listen to what people tell about themselves. But when it comes to...
Like, they're saying they're going to change and they don't.
Yeah. And, like, what I get a lot of is, you know, an issue will come up in a relationship and it's like, okay, let's deal with it. And I just get like, but I love you. But I love you so much, but I would never do anything to hurt you, but I love you. And it's like, who fucking cares if you love me? We need to work out this issue. Like, it doesn't, you can't send, stop sending me flowers, stop sending me love notes, and start not treating me like an asshole. You know, like, that's really what I...
Okay, so why did your... Let's talk about your engagement. Okay. Last time I saw, we had lunch like a week ago, and you were engaged. And then I saw you the next day, and you were not engaged.
Okay, so it was... I'll tell you, the cliff notes of it is we got... It happened too quickly. I met him, and I instantly knew I wanted to have a long-term relationship with him. And I feel ready to settle down for the first time in my life. I've never been somebody.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? Ish, 30, mid-30s?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
Mid to late. Right? Mid to late. Thank you.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just don't want Hollywood to know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. My career's over.
Oh, Danielle, anyway. Wait, DanielleStewart.com is her website. She's hilarious. DanielleStewart.com. It's all on my website, yeah.
So as soon as we met, we had a really strong connection, and like I was like, this is the guy. He met the checklist. Like, do you have a checklist? Do you?
Do I have a checklist?
I mean, yes. Maybe not a checklist, but like an ideal mate list, like
and
caring.
Kind of, it's somewhere floating in my brain, yes. I know
okay.
The basic things.
Well, I've written it down multiple times.
You have. Does it change over time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, what happens is that I break up with someone and then they take the negative qualities of that person and put them on the list, the opposite on the list.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's like the pendulum swing. So if you're in a relationship with someone who's like super lazy, never does anything for you, the next guy is going to be like so giving and whatever, but then and then you're doing the opposite.
Exactly.
So it's like we tend to heal our past relationships and our current, so you got to like.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Anyway, so
it.
Was that what happened?
So he had almost everything on the checklist.
Do you pull out your list and like check check?
I knew what the blue chips ones were. You know, like I knew what the big ones were, and he really had it. And I was like, this guy makes sense on paper. I really like him. We get along really well. It was great. And then. We started to run into trouble. Stuff happened in my career that was like really stressful, and we had a lot of problems through that, and we were fighting a lot. But he started to drop hints that he wanted to get engaged, and like we had gone ring shopping at first as a joke, and then it was serious. And I was like, I wanted to get engaged to him, but I just didn't think we were ready. And he,
how many months has it been?
It had been at this point 3 months.
Okay, yeah.
So
what's the rush?
Well, the rush is that do not want to have kids.
Oh, so no rush.
But I spent, you know, I've spent my whole life kissing frogs or blowing frogs. I don't know, whatever you want to say.
Can we get into blowjobs in a minute?
Yeah, no. Totally. So so I asked him, you know, to wait, and he didn't. And my mistake is when he proposed, I said yes because we were on this like really romantic weekend, and I got swept away. But I wasn't ready. We weren't ready. And unfortunately, the engagement pushed all of the issues, you know, to the forefront. Because all of a sudden it was like, can I marry a guy who blank? Right. You know what I mean?
Well, it's actually probably a good thing then.
Absolutely. For me, right. Not for him, because he's, you know, he's...
So what were some of the issues? Can we talk?
Sure, absolutely. Actually, there was two main issues. And this is like, this is the number one killer. I don't know. I don't want to throw out the label sex addict. I don't want to do that. But nope. I will say that in my experience, like men that pressure you for sex so much, and then if you don't give it to them, have to go into the bathroom and jerk off, like may have some sort of a sex issue.
Okay. So when you say he's pressuring you for sex, because usually in the first, you were together how long total?
Yeah. We were together 4 months.
Okay. So total 4 months engagement. And so... It usually at those stages, typically, you want to have sex.
Exactly.
So and how was he pressuring? Was it
over? We were having a good amount of sex.
Like every
we were
day.
Not. At first, we were having every day, and then I would say it was like a few times a week.
Okay.
Like I said, my career, stuff in my career happened, and so like I was super, super busy. I mean, when we met, I was shooting Sex Box, and I was working 12-hour days. So like there's only so much the body can take, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, there was just not that much time,
so you'd
and
come
I was
home tired.
Tired.
And he'd be like, hey,
yes.
Babe.
And then it started to be like, you know, he'd try in the morning and then he'd try at night. And if I gave it to him in the morning, he'd still try at night. And then if I said no, it would be like a fucking issue.
Because he feels rejected.
He feels rejected. So he would pout, silent scorn.
Ugh. And then he wouldn't cuddle or anything that night.
Sometimes he would. Sometimes we would. But sometimes, we would. Like, I'd try to go sleep on the couch. And it's like. Yeah, and so the final thing was I had had, like, he tried, and I said no, and he, like, was like, and, like, stormed out of my house. And I was like, I can't. Like, I cannot this is a, you know, 49-year-old man.
Right.
You know, like...
So did he go in, did he say, well, okay, now I have to go masturbate? And did he masturbate a lot? Was he watching porn? Was he...
No, it's just when I, when he would try and I didn't want to have sex, he would be like, okay, I'm either going to jerk off in front of you, which I'm fine with. I like.
Right, you're like, do you care if I keep reading? Do you care if I keep reading?
Madison was like, what the fuck?
No, I'm sorry. I was just telling somebody.
This is Madison.
Yeah, sorry. Hi, I'm here. My boyfriend does that sometimes. Like, as like a, it's almost like a weird persuasion thing that he does.
Like,
yeah.
You might get turned on if it's, I come in your face when I jack off.
It worked one time, and now he thinks that, like, it's gonna, like, every time that if I'm like, no, I'm tired, and he just starts jerking off in front of me, then I'm gonna be like, oh, all right. And it's almost like a guilt thing. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, how it sad is. Like, I feel like such a bad girlfriend, but at the same time, if I don't want to have sex, I don't want to have sex.
Exactly.
Okay,
it's imperative.
It's a fine line, because I like it. It does turn me on.
You
but
like if, when he's pressuring you to have sex.
No. Oh. I like when a guy jerks off in front of me.
Oh, yeah. I
love it.
I think it's hot. Mutual masturbation is one of my big top sex tips for people. Or you mean like you like it when they just do it and you're not?
Yeah, I'll take that
either
too.
Way, what else?
Yeah,
you
it like takes it. Me much longer than it takes right. him. So it's like sometimes if you're tired, but I like that, but not if I really don't want to have sex, like I'm not in the mood. It's not, you know, that's like, it feels aggressive.
It does. Well, because it's like, I'm still going to, it's like an aggressive move to say, well, I'm still going to sit here and jack off in front of you because you're
also,
not satisfying my needs.
And exactly. And it also makes it feel like, oh, if I can't jerk off inside your vagina, then I'm just going to jerk off in your face, which is right. like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Am I a vessel for your penis? Like, it's just
for your semen,
very.
Is that what you want?
Yeah.
So, but it is hot. So I think that's interesting because I think you also talk a lot about, like, you've got your videos. Is it Danny Stew, your channel, D-A-N-I?
Is that for YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But I was just watching some of your videos.
Just Danielle, I think it
okay,
is.
Okay, and you were talking about blowjobs. You love blowjobs.
Love them.
And I do too. And I had a guest on Lynette Carolla a few weeks ago, and she's been with Adam Carolla for 20 years. She's like, you know what? Never say no to the blowjob. And you always hear these stories about, like, people walking down the aisle to get married and, like, you know, it's a bittersweet because the guy's thinking, oh, this is awesome, but there goes my last blowjob that I had last night because we're going to get married and there'll be no more blowjobs. So I don't get, you know, I mean, I get it because I do my show, but people, just some women just don't love it. They're like, it's a chore.
Well, I have to say, I used to be a one-size-fits-all blowjob girl. I mean, I would suck any dick. Like,
any dick.
I would suck a dick that I wasn't attracted to. Right. I just loved it so much. It was like an art form for me. I loved it. Now that I've gotten older, there are men who can't come from a blowjob, B, take forever, C, have weird, like, blowjob habits, like the head grabber or, like...
How about when they want to push you, like, they want to...
That,
F
yeah, the
mouth.
Skull fucker. Right. I love how you just said F, and I'm like, skull
no,
fucking.
No, I just don't swear that much on my
no,
show.
Good
I get
for
it.
You. No, good for you.
Thanks.
No, it's good. I'll leave it to me.
Some kind of integrity to the show.
No, it's good.
So
I don't enjoy giving everyone a blowjob.
Right, you just don't hand out the free blowjob card anymore.
Yeah,
but
it's not a moral issue. It's just I don't have time. Like, I don't want to get locked up. I've done all that.
Okay,
you know
what about
I mean?
The spit or swallow thing? Because you did a few videos on that as well.
So I used to be an avid swallower. I mean, sorry, spitter. I was a spitter. I was
okay,
just a spitter.
Where did you spit? Into what? I've never spit. I just thought, I didn't even know it was an option. I was like, you have to swallow to do it right. Which a lot of men are probably happy.
I would go into the bathroom. I mean, this is when I was younger. I would get up and go into the bathroom and spit it in the sink or in the toilet.
Like right after you'd be like, bleh, 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 like leave the room and go spit.
You know, I mean, there's an art to it. Like you're like, they come, you take it, you give a nice smile. Like,
I know most women do, but like,
right.
I just guess I never thought, like, it's easier just to take one for the team.
Well, once I started, so when I started in like a long-term relationship, when I got older and I started to swallow, I was like, oh, this isn't. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is when you don't like the guy and his cum tastes bad. But, like, for the most part...
Pineapple.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, on a one-night stand.
One-night stand.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I like this guy. I'm going to feed him, like, pina coladas the whole night.
Right,
you know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly. And it doesn't happen that quickly.
It doesn't. But I would prefer... I don't want to swallow a guy I don't know's cum.
Right. No.
I will blow him.
I actually
that's
learned
no
this on my second show. Because, you know, when the show first started, I was... more interviewing people like this about their sex life and relationship. You know, it wasn't that I, you know, had my doctorate. It was more of the expert, as it were. But I was talking to my friend. It was my second show, and he was saying to me that he thought it was extremely personal if a woman swallowed his cum like right away. He's like, I only want a woman who like know me for a while. I'm like, damn. Like I said, I was like, I just learned something new because I thought you just had that was the good girl. Like you swallow, like you just do.
Right.
You don't spit. But, you know, and also some men don't love it. So that was interesting to hear.
Men don't love it?
No, but there's some guys who they'd rather come on your face, for example. They'd rather come on your ass. Absolutely. Or they just don't. I think most guys do like it, but it's also like everything with sex, good to mix it up.
Absolutely.
So what's the best sex you've ever had in your life? If you had to, like, when I say that to you, why was it the best?
Okay, so this is, the truth is I like personally very intimate, just like, I like not stranger sex, but it's like my perfect thing is if I kind of know you, but I don't really know you. And we just get, you know, it's like, I like a lot of like, intrigue leading up to it. I like a lot of sex text messages.
Foreplay.
And like, yeah, I like that. And
the
I
build
like
up, the build anticipation. Up
very dirty. I like it. So the best sex I ever had was with, I wrote about it actually, but it was this guy. He was not that cute. Sorry if you're listening. Just totally like milquetoast guy. But he worked in, when I was working in a production office, we were like in cubicles and we just, Instant Messenger had just come out. Sorry, don't mean to blow your mind, Madison. And so we started instant messaging and it just, he must have said something. I don't know. I'd never done this before. And I hadn't even texted before because this was like 2001 right. or something. And it just built and built and built. It got so crazy. I went blind at one point. I'm not joking. Like I lost my vision. Like,
because of the words?
Because I was so turned on. And then we ended up going into the supply closet at work and just fucking.
Really?
And we fucked in the...
How long was this texting going on for? Or the
it was
G-chatting,
probably going on like
chatting.
A month. Like, no.
Build up.
The buildup was probably... No, the buildup was probably like a couple of days for the first time. But then we did it. And I've never come so hard. I came in like the Marshall's parking lot.
Oh, my God.
And it was like my whole body went numb. I lost my vision. I mean, I've never been so turned on in my life. And I've never had that again.
Now, do you think it's because... What was he saying? Can you remember?
It was just that it was so new, you know what I mean? Like, he was so not sexual to me. He was so like asexual in a way. And him talking about, he had a live-in girlfriend, which is a common theme in my life. And you know, so the tabooness of it. And he worked in this office in this very like sterile environment, which is also like, you know, that's taboo. And he was just so plain, and he had this dirty like side, you know. Now porn addicts are like, you know, a dime a dozen, but at the time I had never met a guy who talked like that.
It's super sexy when the word. Well, that's why it's so interesting, because like I said, I mean, their actions speak louder in life. Actions speak louder than words. But yet I've dated guys who are such good. I've dated who was the best texter, and it was long distance, and I think every time I saw him, I'm like, I'm just going to go to the next room and text you. Like, I come
exactly.
visit him. Exactly. Like, he was better with words than he was with actions.
Some guys do this,
and they, even if they're telling you, you know, they're going to be, you know, you like talking to them, you like what they say, but then they don't, it's not in actuality.
Yeah, and they can't follow it up with that. Like, I was with a guy also
I'm like,
long
I
distance.
I thought you were going to do all these dirty things to me. You've been texting me all
or week. Even just say them. Like, he couldn't, I was with a guy who would text me the dirtiest thing, and then we would get together. He was, like, silent. And I'm
like a mute.
Yes.
You're like, what happened to you ripping off my panties?
Right. Exactly.
Right. Ripping them. Ripping and tearing
right.
them. Right.
Right. It's like you wrote the story, act it out.
Exactly. God, you're like, wah, wah.
I know.
Okay. Another thing we were talking that I really want to bring up because it's been so in my mind lately is the whole Madonna whore complex.
Oh, God.
It's coming up in a lot of different areas of my life when I talk to, you know, I'm talking to friends, talking to people, and they just, I think it's confusing because, you know, Freud was the first one who kind of coined it and said that, like, you know, men want to be with women, you know, they could see as the mother of their child and, you know, whatever. But the woman that's like the whore, they don't actually want to marry, because whatever it is, family
right.
values, and it's what their beliefs are passed down to them. But yet, and then there comes the thing with men, if their wives, once they have kids, they think, oh, I can't do this with my... But that's a problem with sex, because the sex is to be something that, you know, you hope you're marrying someone because you want to keep having sex with them. Because like we said, once you stop having sex, you become roommates. So right. how is this run into your life? Because we had dinner last night. So,
it's been such a problem my whole life. I grew up in Boston, which is all Irish Catholic.
Oh,
and
right. So I was going to say it's a big religious thing too.
I've been a whore my whole life, even before when I was a virgin. I've always been coined, you know, I'm
you
not.
You were the whore girl.
I was the whore girl.
You were the fast chick.
Yeah, because I was, I'm not, because I was Jewish and like you can't marry a Jewish girl and like, you know, I had a dirty
mouth
or whatever.
Jewish girls are always you're Jewish too. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
We
don't have anything in our religion that you're going to like go to
exactly.
hell.
Exactly.
We're not no going to go to hell for giving you a blowjob.
There is no hell.
So we just give you blowjobs. There's no hell. It's fine.
Okay. And we like to eat things, you know, so that's like we're very
oral.
We want
to eat your penis. We like to suck.
Yeah,
we like
to
swallow sometimes.
We like good meat. For my entire life, I've been the girl that they want to fuck and they don't want to date. You know what I mean?
Like
if they try to date me, they try to get me into the Madonna role, which I'm just not. And what I think is so toxic about the Madonna whore thing is that it is a further separation between sex and relationships, or sex and love, sex and intimacy, I don't know how everyone feels. I have such a hard time with, you know?
With what?
With
the separation?
With putting them together. Like, the guy that I want to date and be with is not the guy that I want to sleep with.
So you kind of have the reverse Madonna horror thing. You have it towards men?
Yeah, I have the Jesus...
Right,
Yeah, Donna and Jesus.
Jesus, man whore, I don't know.
Yeah,
Jesus,
I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
No, what's a man whore called? Jesus...
Like a
Claire.
Gigolo?
Yeah, gigolo. That's the word. Okay.
Yeah, Jesus Gigolo. From Madonna, the Jesus Gigolo.
Yeah.
Made that up.
That's my new show.
Yes, okay, Jesus Gigolo. So I have that too. And it's not the same issue with men. With men, it has to do with, you know, the mother of my children is sacred. The whore is where I really get my sex out. For me, it's that I'm not interested in fucking a guy more than 3 months. So if I really like your company, I want to be with you for a long time, but I don't want to fuck you past 3 months. I don't want to fuck anyone past 3 months.
Okay, but that's message that you're telling yourself. And you're limiting.
It's a message I have tried to undo.
So what happens? There has to be a pattern that happens after those 3 months.
What happens is after 3 months, I realize that I'm with a human being.
That he's Jesus.
That they have flaws.
Right.
Right. No. Exactly. That they have flaws, and there's inevitably some kind of problem, and I don't like it, and I shut down.
And it keeps to keep you safe, probably.
Yeah.
So because to stick into the relationship would be getting into that ugly house.
And I wish it was conscious. It's not. I just don't want to fuck somebody.
Like you literally do feel
I'm
like
angry
it just
at.
Turns off. They just walk in, and you're like, I'm done with having sex.
It's usually a buildup of resentment. It's usually a buildup of resentment. And I have a part in it. It's like they may do things and I don't set the right boundaries. And then like I get
you don't confront it.
I don't confront it. And so then all of a sudden by 3 months, 3 to 6 months, usually I have these resentments that I try to communicate and it doesn't go over well. And then I'm like, I fucking hate the person I'm with. He's a fucking dick.
So it's interesting because what you go through in 3 months in a way is more efficient and healthy than a lot of people who are in long-term relationships. And like you said on your Sex Box show that – resentments build. You don't think about it. Like he came home every single day. I have a friend who had a baby. Now the baby's now in college, but the husband never helped wash the baby bottles out or help with the kid, right? And then over the years, you know, now the kids, there were things that were happening and you build them. You never address them. And you have resentments that build over a lifetime. That's just a silly one helping with it. But then there was other things like forgot her birthday or whatever it is. And they build. Sex life, completely, you don't want to have sex with this person.
No.
Falls by the wayside for you. And this is why we're saying that couples have to address these issues as they come up. Your resentments, the things that you think you could never say, you have to say. And you are feeling this right away and getting out. But
yeah.
You have to...
Well, I try to address... What happens is I try to address it. I sometimes feel like I've had too much therapy because I have like really, I think, like rock star communication skills. And most people, let alone men, do not. So it's like I try to communicate it. It's usually the first time it's like, yeah, I see what you're saying. Let me not do that. And then they do it 5 more times.
But maybe it's the way you're explaining it to them.
Maybe.
You walk out, you're like, listen, so when you say this, this is how I feel. Give me an example.
Well, like I try to, like, well, with my ex, this recent ex, we were just two wounded children. Like we would just say something and then like react. So there was nothing, we couldn't get through anything.
Right.
It was just defensive. But yeah, a lot of time I'm like, you know, when you say this, it makes me feel this way. And then usually it's completely civil the first time. And then it keeps happening and I lose patience. And I'm like, okay, you're not fucking changing. So fuck you. I think I'm an efficient communicator, but I mean, there's clearly something that I'm doing wrong because, you know, 10,000 failed relationships have to be on me.
Exactly. So maybe it's time to change. Like you keep doing the same thing.
I don't know what to do different.
Okay,
you know,
well, we're
going
to get back to that.
Okay.
Right now, we're going to give a shout out to our sponsors. Maybe you need some more sex toys. Because Goodvibes.com is a place to go for your sex toys. It's your one-stop shop. They carry all the best sex toy brands. Do you use sex toys?
Of course.
Tell me what kind you like.
Well, I have the rabbit, the Doc Johnson version of the rabbit. Okay. I just got that. And then I have like a big, like it's not a double-ended dildo, but it's like almost as big as one, okay. If that makes sense.
Double-ended dildo.
And just, that's more for show.
Is it a vibrator or it's just, no, it's a dildo?
No, it's just
literally
a dildo.
Dildo. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's for them. That's not really for me.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know.
Clitoral stimulation or are you more a G-spot girl?
No, I like both.
Okay.
I like both.
I love the Jeju Fifi, it's called, and it's the one that's shaped like a, you know the rabbits everyone has.
Yeah,
like
of course.
But this one is like sleek and has like this rumbly feel and it's quiet and it's discreet, but it has like the perfect like G-spot stimulation and clitoral stimulation.
Oh, that's great. Because my issue is always that I can't seem to get the rabbit part on my clit and the dildo part in the right, like...
Give you some help. I mean, you know what I mean. Some hands on, unless we can talk about that after.
Okay.
But check out Good Vibes. Also, the magic wand. Have you ever tried that? It's coming unplugged right now. And you plug into the wall, and now you can get
the fucking
it
Hitachi. I don't want to desensitize my pussy.
It's amazing, though. You got to check it out. Okay, everyone, go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Good Vibes banner, and see all my favorite toys because I've tried them all. And use code Emily for 15% off. Because that's how we roll. Okay, so you with the guys. Okay, so, so this guy's over. He's done.
Yeah, he's done.
And now, or how are you dating? Do you date online?
No, I'm, I've started, like, an intrigue thing with a guy who is he's much older than me. And I've had a crush on him for, like, years. But he's always been, like, very appropriate with me. So I just didn't, and then I did. You know, like,
okay,
yeah.
He's older.
Well, we haven't actually hooked up yet. I'm trying to convince him to do it. So
you
that's.
You don't want to, like, rush into anything right now.
After I want to rush into sex.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you really love. Okay, wait. We did not finish the Madonna whore thing because we talked about your perspective of it.
Right.
But men who were brought, I just want to say one more thing about it that I honestly believe that it's setting yourself up for failure in a relationship if you honestly believe that your wife, the person that you're marrying, you have to cut off this entire sexual part of yourself. Because of all the things that you love sexually, I think they also think that by marrying someone who is this pristine Madonna, that they'll no longer even have those. They're not planning to cheat, but they're still going to have those same desires that they wanted before.
May I say one thing, though? Yes. I will say in the argument for Madonna whore is that
this pro-Madonna whore?
Yeah, and I'm just saying is that, like, there are a lot of fat, unattractive women in the world who would not be married if there wasn't such thing as a Madonna whore complex.
Okay, so we're going to tell the women out there that are just more Madonnas, no matter what they look like.
Yeah, it's just exactly. Well, it's like, you know, I mean... You know, more power to them. It's like, you know, I can't get a husband, and good thing I didn't want kids because I couldn't have them. But that's what they got in life. They also got thunder thighs, you know, that I didn't get. So it's like, you know, my cross to bear as like a cute girl.
But is everyone suffering? Doesn't she still want sex? You think she really doesn't?
Who?
The Madonna.
She does, but she doesn't know she's a Madonna because she's not aware. Only the whores know about the Madonna whore complex.
Right.
The Madonnas
then
think
they start
it's genuine.
Show sex with Emily. I'm like, okay, there I go. I'm certainly the whore you're bringing home to your parents at the end of the day. Okay, so let's get into some emails. I'd love to have you help me answer some emails for my listeners.
Awesome.
Because I think that you've been out there.
A lot.
You've got some experience.
Yep.
Okay. We've got, Dear Emily, I was married for 10 years with my ex for 13 total. Went to 7 years of counseling to try and save my marriage, which did not work, and we got divorced. I'm 40 years old, and I'm finding it very hard to date. I tried online dating, which seems like a joke. In the last 2 years, I would say I've sent over 300 emails, and I've gotten maybe 10 replies at most. If I'm approached by a woman online, usually she would not be the one I would date. I find it hard to approach women in public about dating, possibly from, you know, chance of rejection. I had a guy tell me, treat them like dirt and they stick like mud.
Ugh.
Why does it seem like that the genuinely nice guys do finish last? I'm extremely sexual, enjoy all aspects of pleasing a woman. I take great pride in my abilities. However, I don't want to just settle to have sex with what I would consider mediocre, but not date them. Any suggestions as to how to make dating a little easier or more successful? Sean. There's a whole lot in there, Sean.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, I just want to note that when people email me, we've said this on and off over the years, but it's awesome to give your age and where you live. Love to hear that. Okay, so he did give his age. We don't know where he lives. He's 40, 10 years. And so, yeah, what do you think about this?
I mean,
he's sending some messages.
First of all, Sean, I feel for you. Like, you know, online people make online dating seem like it's just no big thing. And I think it's really hard. You know, some people find it like fine to treat dating like a business interview, but like I find it to be really hard. At the same time, I also think it's a numbers game. So like if you know, it's fine. You've sent over 300 emails. Just keep going. Like
yeah,
I know.
But there's something wrong with his emails.
Maybe.
He needs to, okay, online dating is marketing.
True.
In many ways.
Yep.
You know, and you got to market yourself. So don't assume that you know the best pictures of you. Don't assume that you know what you're saying is right if you haven't done it before. And I would ask some of your closest girlfriends that you trust, your
people
sister.
People you work with.
People you work with. Or guys that you know who've been successful dating online. Because it has nothing to do with looks. It has nothing to do with how much you're making. It has to do with whatever your approach is. So if you're that guy who's said, hey, you look beautiful. I mean, you might be saying messages in your first message that's not getting replies.
Yeah, actually, I will say this. And I live in Southern California. So the majority of the men have two cardinal sins on their online dating. One is pictures with other women. What are you doing? I don't care if it's your sister. I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, get her out of there.
Yeah, I agree. Or the gratuitous picture. I love animals, but like six pictures of you and your dog or with your buddies. I can't tell which one's you.
Right, exactly. Right. And you know, if you have kids, find one picture with your kids. Not stop with the multiple pictures.
Okay, like, I get it. You have a kid. If I'm okay with you with kids, I get it. But you just one picture.
And also the whole like everyone in Southern California is like, I'm into hiking and wind sailing and you know, and it's like I don't see these men in real life. Like right. I'm not interested in any of these things. So unless you're really interested in them, don't
like it's a deal breaker for you if she won't go kite sailing.
Yeah, like you have to be passionate, like almost a professional parasailer in order to mention it. Because right. It's other than that, you're just turning off a whole. Plus, if you're not like super fit beach person, then parasailing, you know, is not going to look, not going to attract
exactly.
The right
girl. Exactly, it could turn the right.
Right.
It could turn, so what would you suggest? Then?
So
in
I would.
More general, but I would about their character maybe, or I'm loving, I'm passionate.
Yeah, and I would also say that you're right in terms of his emails probably. My guess is they're not funny at all. Like, they're not clever and cute. And, like, no, if you're not a funny guy, that's fine. But you have to have, and even if they're stock, have, like, three or four cute, like, opening things. Like,
give me an example. Can you
Well, the guy that I was engaged to.
Oh, that worked out well enough you got engaged. Okay.
Well, it's a long story. But one of his was, you're going to laugh, but I just thought it was funny because I got all these generic, like, how was your weekend shit?
Right.
And he was like,
Right. I always get that. I'm like, you don't even know me. What do you care? Like,
yeah. He said something to the effect of you're prettier than a box of Captain Crunch. Or he said there was something about, I swore he said something about a Nigerian Ponzi, like a Nigerian, like, scheme.
So he's like smart and funny.
Yeah, like he said something about like we should meet for coffee, and I promise this isn't a Nigerian, you know, scheme
right.
or something. And
I won't ask you to wire $10,000.
Yeah, and it was like it's not like LOL worthy,
right.
But it's like okay, this guy has some personality.
Right. No, it's true. It just takes that one thing to stand out because I used to say this too. Like in when I used to go out a lot to bars and date. I mean, I guess I still do that, but not as much. But I remember being in San Francisco and. Just guys go, hey, can I get you a drink? And then there was this one guy that just came up to me. And that right now it sounds so silly, but he's like, hey. He's like, if you could have the best night. We were like at some rave in San Francisco. He's like, you know, if you could have the best night of your life right now, but you wouldn't remember it, would you choose to have that night? Like, if tonight could be like the most amazing thing, but you would. I'm like, yeah, totally.
What yeah, every night.
But it was
yeah.
something like that or silly. But I was like, oh, he's interesting. He wants to have a conversation. Like every other guy's just like, hey, babe. And I ended up dating him.
Yeah, so
imagine that. Not because, but what I'm saying is, most of you guys out there who are just sending hey or buying me a drink, you're great guys. It's nothing to do with that. It's just that you got to kind of get their attention.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying you can even make up things. Like this guy maybe sounds like a player, but he's so not a player. He was just we had met a few times, and I never remembered him.
Well, apparently you
and
answered
this time,
the question correctly.
I remembered him.
Right.
I was like, oh yeah. No, it's funny though, because a few times, but then this time he came up to me and said something different. So I was like, oh, you're different. You stand out. So the other thing here though we gotta address is his friend told him that, you know, his guy friend said treat him like dirt, they'll stick like mud. That's the genre of women we know who likes the bad boys. I've never been that girl. You treat me like dirt, I'm out.
Okay, well, there's a lot of different levels of dirt, because outward dirt, sure,
right.
but like come here, go away is also turning like dirt, and that is like, you know, here's
explain
the thing
that that's like, I want to see you every night, I want to see you every night, and then oop, Pete, no, where is he didn't call?
It's like the guy who's constantly in contact over text but never really like asks you out, or
the
like
worst.
You know, or the guy that like you guys have sex and then doesn't call, you know, text you for, you know, 2 days, and then You know what I mean? Like the whole like,
it's texting emotional abuse.
Yes, it is. It is. And that, if the guy is the right kind of guy, here's the thing. It does not work for every guy. If you do not have the chutzpah to be a bad boy, I'm not even a bad boy, it's just emotionally unavailable. You can't decide to be emotionally unavailable.
No.
So if that's not in your, if it's not in your vocabulary or whatever to treat a girl like dirt, and it sounds like it's not, then he needs to just let that go, because
right.
it's just not in his nature.
But I think it more says, what do you think that says more than that? Women just want more of a, they don't want a man to lay over and play dead. Like, they want him to be a challenge. And I mean, not a challenge like, am I available or not, but to challenge her, to keep it interesting, keep it exciting, keep it be the newness of a relationship, spontaneous. These
yeah.
are the things that people can do, guys can do to keep it interesting. It's not like he has to be like,
right.
texting, not texting, sending mixed messages, but just be like, I like it when guys are into me and they're enthusiastic.
Absolutely.
And they show up, but I also don't want him to like give up his life and start like, you know, like parking out of my front lawn. You
yeah,
know?
You
like,
know
build
what?
A tent it, on my lawn and start, you know, stalking me.
It's the little nuances, tiny little nuances, like, for instance, I was supposed to see the older guy yesterday.
The older guy.
You know, it kept being like, oh, this window, that window of time, blah, blah, blah. It didn't work out. He ended up being like, I can't meet. And I was like, you know.
You guys showered, shaved, the whole thing?
Well, I was going out with you guys, so
oh, right.
it was fine. But like, I was like, you know, I want. So anyway, it didn't end up working out. And I was like, okay, it was annoyed. Now, today. Now, I'm just going to call myself out. Today, my plan was that he was going to be like, okay, what time can you meet today? And I was going to be like, sorry, not available.
Oh, so you are.
Which is what I should have done, but I didn't. But for Sean, for the difference is
wait,
is
you're
going
to go see
him?
So
of course, I'm going to go see him because he's got me hooked. Just whatever. You know, what
okay,
are you going to do? I'm a lost
right.
cause. So,
don't do as she says.
Don't. But I'm right. just, what I'm saying is that like, there's a way to play.
As
so
she does.
So you, if you're an independent person, be that independent person. Don't change your schedule around. Like don't be too accommodating, in at least in the first 3 months. Don't you know what I mean? You have to have your own, because women can smell the bend over backwards backflips, and it makes us feel like we just don't end up respecting you.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a slippery slope. The other thing we want to talk, I mean, it is. It's tough for men and for women to navigate through this, because we're saying don't play games, but don't be so available all the time. So it's just,
there's
really
a difference
just be
between
yourself and keep your independence.
But I don't think no game playing. I mean, they call it games. I call it strategy. It's the same way you would do with a job or something like
that. You wouldn't call the job every day. Did I get it? Did I get it? Did I get
yeah,
it?
And you're not right. going to cry on the job. Like, you have to have some game face in your relationship.
Right.
And it's not necessarily game playing. It doesn't have to be a manipulation. It's just like, if I was a smart woman and I was trying to land this guy as a boyfriend, which I'm not, I want
right,
him
you just
to
want
fuck
to have sex
me.
With him, so you're fine with that.
In
totally
my face.
Understand. And I really hope he does.
I want him
I hope
to fuck
he fucks
my
your
face.
Face tonight. Is it tonight after this?
No.
Okay.
God, I hope my ex isn't listening to this.
We won't tell him.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, so is like, if I was trying to get him as a boyfriend, the way I would have to be unavailable tonight. I would have to be unavailable for 2 days.
Right. But you're
that
like,
would
I
be
just
my...
want to sleep with you, so it's fine. I
right.
get it. I get
right.
those things too. As
yeah.
long as you can keep it in that.
As long as I'm honest with myself about that's what I want, because.
Exactly.
You know.
Okay, let's go on to another email. Sexual compatibility. Emily, first off, I love, love, love your podcast. I'm a new listener, learning tons from each episode. Very sexually empowering for women. Well done. My question is, how can you find out if a new partner will be sexually compatible with you in the long run? Obviously, in the beginning, sex is amazing and extremely frequent, but it never seems to last.
True.
I'm a very sexual person and require my sexual needs met for longer than the courting period. I've been in a long-term relationship where the sex fades after 6 months-ish to a year, and I've had to beg for it. How can I avoid this with a new partner? Any input would be helpful. Thanks, Fiona, 34, from Atlantic, Canada.
Okay, first of all, I want to say, Fiona, you are a hot commodity. I mean, I am so jealous of a woman that is just like begging sex from a guy. Like, I that's just, you're my hero. I
right.
just want to say that first off the bat. I mean, I don't mean to take the reins on this, but I mean, I
go,
think
go. I think I do it all the time.
I think it goes back to what we were saying, which is that you can't. You can. There's nothing. There's no insurance policy that will protect you against the first 3 months. You just don't know who you're with. You know what I mean? Obviously, if it's bad, you know it's not going to get any better. But there's a lot of trickery going on in that period of time. I think the key is that you should be with a guy who is the compatibility comes into. Is he willing to show up for the relationship? Is he? Does he say? Does he do what he says he's going to do? Because if he does what he says he's going to do, then when it comes to the point where the sex is dying, he will show up and work on it. That is my thought.
Okay. Yeah. See if he's someone who's interested in change when you give him feedback on things. Does he listen? I mean, there are signs, I think, at the beginning of a relationship. People show you who they are. Pretty, my mom always says, I've said this on the show, the issues you have on the third date, you'll have forever. And that a lot of times, that's why they say love is blind, because we don't want to see the red flags waving in the distance because the sex is so good. Mm-hmm. So if you look at someone's behavior and how they're treating sex at the beginning, like if they're more adventurous or open, no, you can't tell the first, 1-2 months. But I think it's important to start, if you think this is someone you really like, that the sex talk should happen sooner than later. Like, because it's going to be amazing forever, but if, let's say you have something that you really need, like let's say you need more foreplay and it just wasn't happening the first 3 months. You want to say to him, hey, babe, I think it's really hot when you like slowly undress me. Like you want to start testing those waters so you can find out if you are sexually compatible rather than just waiting for it to fail.
But what do you do? What does a guy do with someone like me who is such a whore in the beginning? I am like, I will do almost anything. In the first 3 months, it's like, I'm shut, like whatever
they,
you want.
Like it's too many blowjobs. They can't help it. They're like, Danielle, I will go now.
I'm adventurous. I'll do whatever.
And then what?
You know? And then I just, it shuts down. And it's like, if he was to have a conversation with me in the first, 2 weeks and go, look, I just need to be with a girl that's going to be like this from the long run. I'm going to go, okay, well, it was nice to meet you. Because I know that after a certain amount of time, I just shut the fuck down.
Okay, so, but we have to look at that because that's why the relationships aren't working out. Because the guy's like, what the hell? What happened? Into my horror.
Of course, but I think that isn't that uncommon, is it?
I think you have to find other ways to keep it interesting, to keep it.
Yeah, I'll find other ways. You need to make more money and start fucking helping me around the house. That's how we find other ways.
I mean, no, it is true that a lot of women say if he does the dishes, he puts, empties the dishwasher, takes out the trash, that is sexy.
But, it doesn't even have to be that. Plan a date. It's like men don't act like men.
But do you let him know that? Do you say, honey, it'd be really nice for us to have a date tonight?
Yes, sure. But haven't you had the experience of when you say I would really love it if you would plan the date. And then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they pick you up and they take you to Olive Garden. Yeah. And then it's like,
that's your sign.
So what do you want
to
do
now?
That's
not an adventurous guy who's going to be crazy in bed.
Right. But what if that's a year into the relationship? You know what I mean? It's just hard. Like sometimes you can't change a leopard's spots.
You can't. Sometimes stripes, people don't change right. Sorry, whatever right. A leopard has. But it's true. Do people change? And they say, once a cheater, always a cheater. If you have a sexual fetish, are you always going to, fetishes typically.
I hope it's not once a cheater, always a cheater. Do you think?
Oh, God, I don't.
Really?
It's tricky if they've worked on themselves. Some people could grow out of it. Yeah, no, I do think that
people
cheat.
I work on myself. Because I
work on myself
cheater.
Too. No, me too. I was a former cheater. I'm reformed. I just don't commit now. So.
Right.
So there's no
cheating
that happens.
It's a good loophole.
Thank you very much. I'm very sorry with that. But, again, she wants to look at this, Fiona, one more thing. Just steer away from people who doesn't seem that interested in sex and they want – you can tell someone who's adventurous. You can tell someone who's wants to know if he's pleasing you.
Yes.
Like, have you been with those guys who are like, I don't know if you orgasmed or not. Were you even here? Make me – I'm going to go make some pizza or get some pizza. It's like you can tell right away, but to have your eyes open early on in the relationship because – you're going to have chemistry at the beginning because it's new and the adrenaline, but you can also, just because you're having great sex because it's new, the newness, look at some signs. What's he committing to about your pleasure? So
that's
And how open is he to you touching his balls, for example? Okay. We have to wrap up, Danielle.
That's upsetting.
You're awesome. I know. I'm scared. I'm sad. I love that you're here. You're going to come back.
Thanks
but
for having
me. This is what I have to say about you, that you are at DanielleStewart.com and that you are a writer at After Party Magazine.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little about that?
Yeah, that's an addiction and recovery online magazine and resource for people who are sober or want to get sober. And, it's not as bland and boring and serious that a lot of those things are. Like, we make it funny.
Yeah,
so they're
funny. Because you write for it. And you're a funny person.
Yes.
Okay. Also, where else can they find you? Your Twitter is at the Danny Stew.
Yep.
DaniStew.
STEW.
Yeah. S-T-E-W. And yeah, also Facebook, The Danny Stu.
That's right.
Okay, we got it. Thank you. Right. And this will all be on my website. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And a few things I have to tell you people that I love, my listeners, love you deeply, is that you can find me. Facebook and Twitter and Instagram is All Sex with Emily across the board. We send out newsletters. If you go to my website, I have to say it's the strangest thing. Like, of all the things I've done like iPhone apps, and I wrote a book. I actually had a television show. But I run into random, my hot lawyer last night that we saw. Mm. And he's like, hey, I get this like a few times a week. I love your emails. I actually read them. Like, people tell me that because I send these weekly emails, and you actually, they're informative, and you like, you know, even people like who like
you would think.
I know, right?
Yeah,
people don't put them in spam. So sign up for our mailing list, and I think you'll learn some things. Maybe people learn by reading, you know, it's auditory. Who knows? Check it out. Also, if you like the show, you can review us on iTunes. It's easy. You can also listen to us by downloading the Podcast One app. That's super easy. And for smartphones, any kind of phone you have. So also, we need interns. Email us, feedback@sexwithemily.com. It's a good time. Right, Madison?
Yes, we need in-office interns. Come hang out. Be a part of the team.
We have a good time. We've got, like, you know,
dildos
everywhere.
These chicks are hot. Like, they're hot chicks.
We're hot and we're smart.
Yeah,
and fun.
Yeah.
So check us out, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Email us. Just send your resume and a cover letter why you want to work with us. So thank you, Madison, for producing the show. Thank you, Danny. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.